out here tonight. We want to make sure that this is a peaceful demonstration.
The peaceful protesters did not win out in Washington, D.C. This is Tuesday, June 2nd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Also coming your way, the U.S. president wants more police power against the violent protesters. China has its say about the protest, as well as the U.S. stance on Hong Kong. U.S. health officials are warning of a surge in coronavirus infections following the protest across the U.S. It is all on today's VOA Asia. In Washington, D.C., some of the most intense protests against police brutality took place at the gates of the White House. Police beat unarmed demonstrators and fired tear gas and other explosives into the crowds, while some protesters threw rocks and fireworks. VOA's Jason Patinkin filed this report, which does contain graphic language and sounds of explosions.
Police and protesters clashed for hours in the heart of Washington, D.C. this weekend, part of a wave of nationwide protests demanding justice for George Floyd and an end to the systemic police brutality against black people in the United States. Floyd, a black man from the state of Minnesota, was killed by a white police officer last week. Tensions were high in Washington just after sunset and quickly escalated into violence. As unarmed protesters tried to walk toward the White House, police formed a line blocking them and unleashed pepper spray. A middle-aged black man lay on the ground, writhing in pain after the attack. Another unarmed protester, a white 22-year-old named Byron Bouchara from the state of Virginia, vented his anger at the officers after being sprayed in the face.
Our taxes go to your salaries, you monsters!
Nearing the White House gates, the protesters demanded police officers be held accountable for killing black people.
Who took this?
At the gates, most protesters were peaceful, but some began throwing bricks and rocks at police, who responded with more pepper spray. Other protesters lit trash cans and dumpsters on fire and shot fireworks at the officers, who were dressed in military-style gear. But there were sharp divisions between the protesters as to whether to throw objects at police and light things on fire. At one point, a fight broke out as one protester tried to stop another from setting a signpost ablaze. Deidre O'Brien, a black protester from Washington, D.C., said she helped put out a trash can fire and that she wanted the demonstrations to be peaceful.
We are out here tonight. We want to make sure that this is a peaceful demonstration, that at no means do we want to start anything, because we want to ensure that it's safe out here for us to be able to exercise our rights.
But the violence escalated anyway. After a firecracker landed among police and demonstrators, police fired tear gas, smoke bombs, and stun grenades indiscriminately into the crowds of unarmed protesters. VOA saw one photographer knocked to the ground, bleeding from his right eye. Another woman was hit in the leg with shrapnel from an explosive, apparently fired by police. VOA also witnessed police beating unarmed protesters who had their hands in the air. By midnight, the police stormed the area, and the air around the White House was thick with tear gas. But there appears no end in sight to the unrest in America's capital. Jason Patinkin for VOA News, Washington.
President Trump is urging more states to call out the National Guard to fight back against violent protest. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Makani has more.
The president's blaming the media and anarchists for fomenting violence and says liberal mayors and governors must get tougher, pointing to Minnesota's National Guard sharply cutting down on violent protests over the weekend. The Pentagon said Saturday it was ready to send active duty troops to Minneapolis if needed.
We can have troops on the ground very quickly if they ever want our military.
Active duty forces are normally banned from acting as a law enforcement agency in the U.S., but the Insurrection Act of 1807 offers an exception. It was last invoked in 1992 after the Rodney King trial led to massive riots in Los Angeles. There was no indication over the weekend the president intended to invoke the act. Sagar Magani, Washington.
We invite you to read more in our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now at voanews.com. Hong Kong police Monday formally banned an annual candlelit vigil to mourn the victims of the crackdown on the 1989 Tiananmen pro-democracy movement that has taken place uninterrupted for 30 years. Two of the largest U.S. college campus political organizations are calling for the closure of all Confucius institutes in the United States. South Korean President Moon Jae-in told U.S. President Donald Trump Monday that he would willingly accept the American leader's invitation to join this year's Group of Seven summit. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Chinese state media is giving extensive coverage to violent protests roiling cities across the United States, while the unrest also is being widely featured in Chinese social media. China's interest comes at a time when relations between the two are particularly strained. CCTV featured reports from one of its reporters running with protesters in Minnesota, as well as short videos shot by Americans depicting police violence against protesters. At the same time, China is threatening to retaliate against the United States after President Donald Trump's decision to begin the process of eliminating Hong Kong's special status and impose restrictions on Chinese students in the United States. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian spoke to reporters at the daily briefing Monday.
No foreign country has any right to interfere, nor should they interfere. The Chinese government is firmly determined to safeguard China's sovereignty, security, and developmental interests, to implement the principles of one country, two systems, and to oppose illegal interference in Hong Kong's affairs by any foreign force. The arbitrary interference by the United States in Hong Kong's national security legislation is totally contrary to international law and the basic norms of international relations, and it is doomed to fail.
President Trump said Friday the controversial security law is tragic for the people of Hong Kong and violates China's promise to protect its autonomy. He said the Chinese government had been diminishing the city's long-standing and very proud status. The president stopped short, however, of calling an immediate end to privileges that have helped Hong Kong remain a global financial hub. Happening now in Asia, China said Monday the United States was addicted to quitting following a U.S. decision to leave the World Health Organization, and said the withdrawal reveals a pursuit of power politics and unilateralism. President Trump announced Friday the U.S. would cut ties with the WHO, accusing the U.N. agency of becoming a puppet of China. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. U.S. health officials say they are bracing for a surge in coronavirus infections following protests around the country over the death of George Floyd, an African-American man who died in police custody in Minneapolis. Some protesters wore masks, some did not. Social distancing was non-existent. Worldwide, COVID-19 infections in Afghanistan rose by 684% in May. The International Rescue Committee said that in a statement Monday. It said the country's extremely low testing capacity means many more are going untested and undetected. Millions of Afghanis were already facing food insecurity after decades of conflict, and now the economic strain of the COVID pandemic leaves Afghanistan on the brink of a humanitarian disaster, said the IRC. Russia reported 9,035 new COVID-19 infections Monday. Only the United States and Brazil have more cases than Russia.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
This news alert from VOA Asia. China has told state-owned firms to halt purchases of soybeans and pork from the United States. Two people familiar with the matter told Reuters after Washington said it would eliminate special treatment for Hong Kong to punish Beijing. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. I'm Ira Melman. As demand for their goods and services plummet due to the spread of COVID-19, companies around the globe are repurposing their workspaces to make products for frontline workers and others in the fight against the coronavirus. From a company that makes race cars in Britain to a food cart in Afghanistan, this global effort includes outlets both big and small. More from VOA's Julie Tabo.
A luxury glove manufacturing company in France has adapted its workshop to create washable fabric gloves for frontline workers.
When we started talking about ending the quarantine and wanting to make people feel safe, we talked a lot about masks, and I said to myself that we must also participate in this effort. So we thought of making masks, but I thought a lot of people are able to make those. But gloves will be much more difficult.
In Britain, workers at a company that makes race cars is producing ventilators and testing kits for hospitals across the country. McLaren is one of many companies that has changed over operations as a part of the government's Ventilator Challenge initiative.
For me, being able to volunteer and actually do something that makes a difference, it's a big motivational factor.
In Belgium, researchers are using 3D printing to develop plastic devices that can convert snorkel masks into coronavirus face guards for medical staff.
Me and my colleagues were worried at a certain time that maybe at some point there would be a shortage in material. So we were trying to look for alternatives.
More than 5,000 kilometers away in Afghanistan, food vendor Marzia Sikandar is dressed head to toe in a personal protective suit as she drives her food cart down the street. But instead of dishing out burgers like she used to, she's now providing hand washing services, spraying people with disinfectant, and handing out face masks.
We have sanitizing materials and masks in our cart, and we distribute 60 to 70 masks a day. We explain this health issue to people and advise them to wash their hands.
About 40 of these solar-powered food carts in Kabul have been converted into disinfection vehicles in a bid to stop the spread of the coronavirus. The government provided the funds to convert the vehicles and is also funding the purchase of their disinfectant supplies, face masks, and the workers' salaries. When the coronavirus pandemic gets under control, these civic-minded civilians hope to get back to their regular jobs. But in the meantime, they're doing their part to help protect their fellow citizens against the deadly virus.
Whatever it takes, you go and do it.
Julie Tabo, VOA News.
A message from your friends at VOA Asia. Wash your hands with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. Scrub thoroughly for 20 seconds. If you cannot wash your hands, use a hand sanitizer. Taking these steps can prevent not only coronavirus, but also colds and flu and other viruses. A message from your friends at VOA Asia.
Now on VOA Asia, hazardous weather conditions at first delayed the inevitable. Days later, the skies cleared and history was made as a SpaceX rocket carrying two American astronauts launched into space. Sunday, in orbit above Earth, the journey came to a successful end. VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports.
The public-private partnership of NASA and SpaceX claimed victory Sunday as American astronauts docked with the International Space Station, or ISS. Roughly 19 hours after launching from Cape Canaveral in Florida, the Falcon 9 rocket carrying the Dragon capsule made history. It was the first launch into orbit from U.S. soil since 2011, and it was the first time ever a private company like SpaceX carried astronauts into space. NASA's Shaniqua Vereen.
We have entered into a new era of spaceflight, getting these commercial partners up and getting them ready to be able to regularly take our astronauts to the International Space Station makes us less dependent on the Russian, our Russian counterparts.
American astronauts relied on Russian rockets to get them to the ISS since 2011. Marine says a successful launch offers just another way to get to space and does not signal the end of that partnership. She says it's also a new beginning.
We are basically trying to reinvigorate America as well as the rest of the world's interest in the space program. We have Orion that's coming up, and that's going to launch the first woman and the next man on the moon, and after that, on to Mars.
The crew of the Dragon capsule aboard the Falcon 9 rocket was set to launch last week. Weather conditions then forced the reschedule to Saturday. The mission for NASA astronauts Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken will last roughly 110 days. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
Avi Shiffman is just 17 years old, but already he's built one of the most popular coronavirus tracking websites in the world. The site gets more than 30 million visits a day. Many consider Shiffman a genius. He's been offered high-paying jobs and contracts. He's the winner of the 2020 Webby Award for Person of the Year, but even with all of that, the teenager says he wants to keep focusing on what he thinks is most important. Anoush Avipatsayat has the story.
I just coded it by watching, you know, YouTube videos and just asking questions. And, you know, it's not super complicated to program. It's just basically a bunch of complex web scrapers and, you know, a nice looking design. But, you know, I think what's more important is that, you know, I took the initiative to make this when there was just nobody talking about it.
On December 29th, 2019, high school student Avi Shiffman launched a domain called ncov2019.live that tracks the spread of the coronavirus across the globe. Web design is not new to the 17-year-old Shiffman. When he started his coronavirus tracker, he had no idea the virus will turn into a pandemic and his tracker into a universally known project.
You know, if I wanted the most up-to-date numbers, I'd have to go to, like, local Chinese government websites that were, you know, all in Chinese and, you know, hard to read. Or I could read news articles, but they were mostly out of date by the time I read them anyways, and, you know, it doesn't change or anything. So, you know, I started working on a dashboard thing that would be, you know, really visually appealing, especially on like a mobile device that, you know, you could just easily get the most up-to-date numbers, just all in one place for all the countries. And since then, you know, I've gained over 700 million visitors and, you know, visitors from every single country every single day.
In early March, Shiffman says it was scary when the first U.S. cases were reported in his home state of Washington. But since he had already been tracking the virus, Shiffman says he felt prepared and already had N95 masks that he bought even before prices spiked. On March 11th, the World Health Organization raised the status of the coronavirus to a pandemic. Countries began enforcing strict quarantine measures and many began searching the web for the word pandemic. His website was ready to go after years of practice on computers.
I just kind of started when I was a little kid, around like when I was 7. And, you know, I guess my dad was just really into computers and there was always just computers just around.
Shiffman has already created more than 30 websites in 10 years, but he is especially proud of his global COVID tracker. He says the information is as accurate as the information that governments release. For now, he is rejecting other job offers.
I don't really care that much about working as like a career programmer, like 9 to 5. I feel like that would take a lot of the fun. And just the motivation I have out of programming. And you know, I don't really, I want to make something that, you know, people actually use. And so I don't want to just be like another name on like a contributor list.
In 2020, Schiffman won the Webby Award for the Person of the Year. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, presented him with the award granted for excellence on the internet. Anusha Vitisyan for VOA News, Washington.
Using their paintbrushes, two Chinese-American artists are honoring frontline fighters in the battle against COVID-19. And as VOA's Zhu Dao reports, they're also documenting what New York City Chinatown is going through during this very difficult time.
Two Chinese-American artists showing their appreciation to those who are on the front lines in the fight against COVID-19. And they're telling the story of how the deadly virus is affecting them and New York City's Chinatown.
My younger brother tested positive for COVID a little over a month ago, and then I caught it.
Jerry Ma, who runs an art supply store in Manhattan, says he wanted to express how the pandemic has affected his family, business, and community. Because Asian Americans have increasingly been targets of hate crimes since COVID-19 spread to the U.S., Ma says he also wanted to show their dedication on the front lines as health workers, risking their lives to save others.
I want a lot of people to know what these people are doing.
The characters in Jerry's portraits are ordinary people in his life.
I start with one of my close friends. She's a physician's assistant. I just wanted to say thank you to her.
Jerry uses colors to express emotions of people in different fields. Frontline medical workers are blue to convey calmness and peace, red for restaurant workers to show the happiness they bring, and purple for everyone else to demonstrate strength. By creating the portraits, Jerry hopes to bring more attention to the many ways Asian Americans are helping to combat the coronavirus. Felicia Liang, a freelance artist living in Brooklyn, draws the storefronts of Chinatown's business with fine lines on her iPad. Red represents businesses that are still operating, and black represents the business that are temporarily closed.
Even during this time, I think a lot of us are trying to think of, like, what value can I add? Like, I'm staying at home. Like, how much value can I add? Like, I don't have a ton of money to donate either. So it's like, what can I do to support the community? If it's drawing, that's great.
She has drawn 185 storefronts so far.
I wanted to draw as many as I can. A lot of them reached out and said, like, they really appreciate me just, you know, sharing love.
At the bottom of each drawing, she sketched in hashtag support Chinatown.
Everyone has, like, their favorite places that they go to. It's another way to kind of preserve parts of New York that we all love so much.
For Zhu Dao in New York, I'm Lin Yang, VOA News.
This is Science in a Minute.
Have you ever read a science story that piqued your interest so much that you wanted to read more about the subject? You go to the internet in hopes of finding information that will clearly explain the topic. Instead, all you find are articles that only scientists can understand. The California Institute of Technology, Caltech, recently launched a new website that may provide you with the clear and dependable scientific and engineering information you're looking for. Called the Caltech Science Exchange, the website helps you make sense of popular and relevant scientific issues. Right now, you can find information that explains the science behind COVID-19, with new topics to be added in the months to come. You can find the Caltech Science Exchange at scienceexchange@caltech.edu. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter, at VOA Asia. Find us on Instagram and YouTube and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gallo, our VOA Asia team, which includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Pumpleboon, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy your day.